It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. In Calaveras County, the Utica Water and Power Authority, the City of Angels Camp, and the Union Public Utility District have been raising awareness about the 170-year history of the Murphy's, Vallecito, and Angels Camp water supply dating back to the Gold Rush. Recently, there was a video premiere of Water Our Gold, which dives into this story. That history, as well as what lies ahead, is kind of going to be the focus of this weekend's Motherlode Views. We're pleased to be joined in studio by Joel Metzger, who is the General Manager of the Utica Water and Power Authority. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, BJ. Pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you in studio here for Motherlode Views. The film, I had a chance to take a look at it. It's very interesting. We have a link posted up on mymotherlode.com as well. So first off, what was kind of the reason to put this film together?
You know, the main reason that we put this film together is to connect our community with their water supply. And what I found when I became general manager of Utica about 3 years ago was that most people in the Highway 4 corridor area in Angels Camp and Murphy's and Douglas Flat and Vallecito really didn't know where their water was coming from. They just turned those taps on and the water came out and everything was hunky-dory. And what's unique about Utica's system is the history going back to the Gold Rush, the wooden flumes, the concrete canals, and all these things that are still being used today. And we wanted to make sure people knew that we had a unique system, a complex system to manage, and have some very valuable senior water rights that we're protecting for our community.
And you've had two public airings now of the film?
We've had two premieres. One was at the Bret Hart Theater in Angels Camp, and the other one was at Ironstone, which was just in early May here. And I'm really excited to say that we had about 150-plus people at Angels Camp, and then we had more than 250 people attend the premiere in Murphy's just recently here.
It's definitely a fascinating history. I'm going to play just a little bit of the opening of the film, and here is also some audio at the end from Bill Arola, an irrigation customer and a former UPUD and Utica board member. Here is just a portion of that film.
The year was 1849. Gold prospectors soon discovered the immense value of another resource, water. To ensure year-round flows for the gold fields, competing miners banded together in 1852 to form the Union Water Company and built an elaborate ditch and flume system stretching from Angels Camp to Arnold to tap the North Fork of the Stanislaus River, the same system still in use today.
It's a system that is unique to California, I believe, and it's amazing, and it's amazing to go back and see when those things were built and how they were built with, you know, a lot of labor involved. I mean, it's just tremendous.
So that was an early soundbite from the film Water Our Gold that, again, was put together. So what else can you tell us about this water infrastructure's unique history?
You know, one of the things that's so cool about what the gold miners did is when thousands of people flocked to the hills of California searching for their fortunes, they needed water in order to mine year-round. And much of the mining was happening in Angels Camp and Murphy's and Vallecito in the 1850s. And those seasonal creeks go dry in May or June, depending on the water year. And so the miners started needing to bring outside water into those communities so they could continue the mining efforts year round. And so the first thing they did is they tapped a creek called Mill Creek, which is Love Creek and Moran Creek coming together up in the Avery area. And they brought that down to Murphy's and Angels Camp, and that gave them a little bit more water than what they had just from the Angels Creek watershed. But that also goes dry in many years. And so then they decided we're going to have to go to the Big River. And so they needed to get a flume and canal system all the way to the North Fork Stanislaus. And that was an incredible feat of engineering to have gold miners with mules and oxen and picks and shovels getting the grade just perfect and getting around obstacles like incredible rocky cliffs and drainages that you really can't build a canal through. And that's where those wooden flumes came in. So they would suspend these wooden flumes off of the rocky cliffs to get around there. They also would build huge suspension bridges across the drainages and then connect those wooden flumes to the earthen canals that they built. And they built many, many miles of flumes and canals to get from Avery all the way up to the North Fork Stanislaus. And where they hit it was right around the McKay's area. And once they were able to connect to that water source that was year-round, the mining really took off, and they never really had to slow down for the entire year. So this system was absolutely key to incredible mining success in the region.
Yeah, I have some great photos and video, or some video as well in the film. You know, being that this was put together, you know, 170 years ago, kind of the early beginnings of this infrastructure, is it difficult to fast forward and maintain still today?
It really is one of the most challenging systems that anyone could have to maintain. Many systems these days are going to be pipes underground, and they're going to be fairly modern, and that's pretty doable, but with these wooden flumes and concrete line canals that are all historically protected under the State Historic Preservation Act and federally, we actually can't make changes to the materials beyond some minimal operational needs. So when we tear a flume out because it's rotted or been damaged, we need to rebuild it looking just about the same as it was to comply with those historical protections. And same thing with those canals and some other structures. And that's one of the biggest challenges we have, is that the wooden flumes that the miners relied on and we rely on today are extremely vulnerable to wildfire and landslides and avalanche and tree fall. And not being able to use more durable fire-resistant materials creates a huge challenge. And it also keeps me up at night every fire season, hoping that we don't have a fire spark to life in the Stanislaus Canyon below our flumes.
Now I'm going to play another quick soundbite from the film. Here is Rebecca Callen, the Angels Camp City Administrator.
Each of our respective communities, whether they want to grow bigger or whether they just want to grow stronger, that is vital to their longevity. The decisions that we're going to be making are truly going to be felt for generations to come.
So a pretty powerful statement there, you know, so it kind of begs the question too, what are kind of the decisions on the horizon that are going to be have to made in regards to this infrastructure?
You know, I think the biggest decisions that we're facing come down to aging infrastructure. How do we adapt to the different conditions that we're facing out in the forests and in our watersheds? Wildfires have become much more intense. Our storms have also been much more intense, and the droughts and the floods are more frequent than really we've seen over the past 50 years or so. And so we have to adapt. And one of the things that we need to do is find a way to harden our infrastructure against wildfire. And we are actively looking at getting grant funding from California Office of Emergency Services, that's Cal OES, and also the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, for pre-hazard mitigation projects. And that would be something like finding a way to weigh the historical value of the flumes versus the public good of not having the water supply cut off to 10,000 people. And if you can mitigate the historical loss, you could take those wooden flumes out and you could put a concrete structure or a metal structure or something of that nature in that would have a fighting chance against a wildfire. And so that's what we're looking at, while also acknowledging that these have a wonderful history and we do want to protect the legacy of the gold miners. So we have some really cool ideas, like building full-size replicas at local museums, doing the video that we showed to our community to preserve that legacy, and then going around our community in schools and showing pictures and sharing education. The other big thing that we're facing moving forward is a regulatory burden from the federal government and also the state government. So we have five dams and two hydroelectric powerhouses. And when you have hydropower, you're regulated by FERC, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And they also inspect your dams for dam safety. And so FERC licenses are usually 30, 40, or 50 years. Ours is 30, and it expires in 2033.
We're going to pick up on that conversation in just a second in regards to FERC. We need to take a quick break. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We're talking with Joel Metzger on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We'll be back with more Motherlode Views in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with Joel Metzger, who is the general manager of the Utica Water and Power Authority. We're talking about the water infrastructure, the history and the future of that water infrastructure that supplies water to communities like Murphy's, Vallecito, and Angel's Camp on this weekend show. And Joel, as we were wrapping up the first segment, you were talking about the FERC licensing process. I know this is an important thing for the district moving forward. So can you pick up that conversation again about what is FERC and the issues on the horizon?
Yeah, so you have to have a FERC license to generate power in general, whether it's wind or solar or natural gas or nuclear. And so we have two FERC licenses, one for each of our powerhouses, and both of those licenses expire in 2033. And the estimate that we've gotten from our consulting team to complete the relicensing in the next 10 years is around $10 million. And that is a huge cost that we really can't afford at this time, especially in light of our budget being about $3 million on an annual basis. And so it would be very difficult for our community and our ratepayers to shoulder such a huge cost of relicensing. But if we can't relicense the plants, then we're not going to be able to continue generating power. And hydropower sales is by far the biggest revenue that Utica relies on. In fact, it's probably more than 90% of our revenue in most years. And so what we are exploring right now are other options aside from the FERC relicensing. We are looking at whether we could get a longer term agreement where we wouldn't have to relicense every 30 years and we would be able to have local agreements versus federal agreements. And that would eliminate the need to get the license from the federal government on a 30, 40, or 50-year basis. If we were able to move forward in that direction, that would be a long-term cost savings for the authority. It would also give us a lot more ability to work with our local partners and continue being an excellent steward of the watershed and the hydroelectric powerhouses and our dams.
As you mentioned, $10 million for a $3 million budget overall, that's a heavy lift. So
it's a real heavy lift, and we're actually fortunate that we're so small. When I look at other regional FERC license holders, Calaveras County Water District, I believe, is looking at more than $40 or $50 million for their relicensing. And I know that the Phoenix Powerhouse in Tuolumne County that PG&E owns has spent more than $6 or $7 million on a relicensing, which is ongoing and is not complete yet. And that's only one powerhouse, and it's smaller than Utica's powerhouses.
Do you go to Washington, D.C. ever to lobby for these different things?
I did make a trip to Washington, D.C. in early in 2023, so just a couple months ago. And I went back to meet with FERC directly to talk about these issues and was fortunate to get an in-person meeting with the representative from the Washington, D.C. FERC office. And we made a lot of progress, and I'm optimistic about our chances of moving forward with these strategies. I also had the opportunity to meet with both of our state senators, staff, I should say. You rarely get to meet with the senator themselves, but I did meet with Senator Feinstein's staff and Senator Padilla's staff. And I did talk about the issues with our infrastructure, with wildfire, with regulatory burden, and the long-term viability of our system. And both of those staffs encouraged me to try out the congressionally directed spending process, which many people will know as earmarks. So this is a process where you can ask the senator to put a funding request directly to committee consideration on behalf of your community. And if the committee that they forward that to approves that and the budget is adopted by Congress, then you will actually have funding coming to you in the next fiscal year. So I put two applications in with my team. We didn't have a lobbyist back there or really any support. We did it all on our own and kind of figured out the process as we went along. And we put two two requests in, and I'm very pleased to announce that both of those requests were selected for funding by Senator Padilla and Senator Feinstein, and were forwarded on to the committee for consideration. And if all goes well and it makes it through committee and the budget is adopted, we are going to have funding coming to this small community directly from Washington, D.C. through a process that we've never, ever tried before, which is really exciting to me.
Yeah, congratulations on that. Is that a pretty rare thing for a water district this size to get a couple of earmarks?
As I've gone through this process, I've found it's extremely rare. Usually the district is larger and they have either a lobbyist or an entire lobbying team in D.C. that are working on these things and keeping in close communication with the staffers back in Washington, D.C. So for us to pull this off just with our small team just makes me so proud of everyone who contributed to that process.
Going back a little bit to the history and the video that was presented as well, it really highlighted, you know, some of the winemakers and ranchers, also Greenhorn Creek. So there really are a lot of aspects that maybe everybody doesn't think about when it comes to the economic development of the region.
This flume system and canal system is really mostly supporting the ag region. Most of the water is going to hydropower, of course. Most of the water goes through the turbines. But as on the consumptive side, who we deliver to, we have 22 direct diverters who are water contractors that are farming wine grapes, a lot of irrigated pasture, some orchards, all kinds of beautiful green belt establishments throughout the Highway 4 corridor that rely on the flume system. And then in addition to that, we also provide river water directly to the Union Public Utility District treatment plant, and then also the City of Angels Camp treatment plant. And then downstream at the very end of our system, Greenhorn Creek Golf Course has a diversion out of the creek, and they used creek water from Utica in addition to treated wastewater from the city to irrigate the Greenhorn Creek Golf Course and keep the ponds full. And one thing I think is super important to mention that I don't want to forget is Murphy's Creek is so loved by, I think, everyone in the region, not just Calaveras County residents. And without Utica's system, Murphy's Creek would be dry in May every year because it is just a little seasonal watershed. There's no snowpack up above that watershed. And the miners had that problem. That's why they had to go up higher and bring water down. So without Utica's flumes and ditches, that creek would be dry. And can you imagine how different Murphy's would be if there wasn't a year-round creek flowing through that community park?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine. Yeah, I was by there a couple of weeks ago, and it really is flowing pretty heavy right now. I'm curious, you know, how has the infrastructure held up with the recent atmospheric rivers this past year?
It's been one heck of a year, BJ. We have been up all night long for weeks at a time, it seems like, as these atmospheric rivers come through. And you can imagine when you have canals that are built on steep hillsides, as the water comes down off the mountain, it goes right into that canal and the canal picks it up, whether you like it or not. And so what happens when you have big snows and then big rains on top of them especially is you have too much water coming into your system. And so what we have to do as a team is go out and open spillways that we call wastegates. So we have about 15 or 20 of them along the 13-mile upper stretch. And then you also can close cross gates, which are kind of like dams that come down and block the flow. And so what we do during these big storms is we basically just dump water out of our system and into the canyon, and it just goes down into the Stanislaus. And we often turn our powerhouse off because if we do bring a full ditch down into the Angels Murphy's Creek system, the park is already flooding from the natural flow that we can't control from that watershed. And if we bring our water in, that just makes a bad situation worse. But I'll tell you what, the Utica team did a phenomenal job this last year dealing with one of the biggest winters we've ever seen.
Have any big breaks or anything like that this winter?
So we had one really close call. We had a big oak tree fall into the canal from the upstream bank, and the branches created a dam as debris kind of collected against them. And once that dammed up the canal, which was running not full, but full enough to fill all the way up, and then the water started overtopping the concrete canal and it started running down the earthen embankment. And what happens is if you have too much water running down that earthen embankment, it starts to erode it. And then eventually the entire canal bank fails, and then you have a complete canal failure, and that would actually cut the water off to our community. We have a very advanced SCADA system, which is a computer system that monitors flows and operates valves and gives you alarms. And we noticed that we had much less water leaving the top of the system than what was arriving at the bottom of the system. So kudos to the operators for recognizing that difference and immediately turning flows off and getting patrols out to find what was wrong. So we barely saved the canal from failing over the winter. Other than that, just huge flows out of Hunter Reservoir and Avery. The video has unbelievable shots of the spillway just ripping with nearly 1,000 CFS. It's quite something to behold when you're standing right at the base of it.
Very interesting. We need to take one more break. We're talking with Joel Metzger, who is the general manager of the Utica Water and Power Authority, on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
On this weekend's Motherlode Views, we are talking with Joel Metzger, who is the general manager of the Utica Water and Power Authority. We've been talking a lot about a new video that's been put together in Calaveras County. The Utica Water and Power Authority, City of Angels Camp, and the Union Public Utility District have been raising awareness about the 170-year history of Murphy's, Vallecito, and Angels Camp water supply, dating back to the Gold Rush and some of the issues and challenges on the horizon. You know, one thing that came up in the video was just kind of the community coming together to ensure that these water rights, you know, stay local. What can you tell us just about that JPA as well?
It's a really cool history that was started in the Gold Rush by the Union Water Company, who built the initial system. They eventually sold in the 1860s, 1870s to the Utica Gold Mining Company, which was one of the largest gold mines in Angels Camp. And Utica Gold Mining Company, which is our namesake, as you can imagine, they held ownership of the system all the way up until 1946. And gold mining had long faded at that point, but the system was continuing to be used for agriculture and for drinking water. And so in 1946, the Utica Gold Mining Company sold the entire project to Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E. And PG&E owned that system for the next 50 years. They sold it in the 90s. And PG&E built new powerhouses. They lined a lot of canals that were dirt with concrete to increase efficiency. And they really did a lot of important upgrades to dam safety as well. And they ran a lot of water through those powerhouses and made a lot of power. They were running 88 cubic feet per second when they had that water, which is much higher flows than what we see today. So those who remember those times in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s might recall larger stream flows. But in the 80s and 90s, PG&E decided they were going to divest of this project. And they put it up for sale. And there were many large outside agencies that were interested in purchasing the system. And our community, led by Calaveras County Water District in partnership with the City of Angels and Union Public Utility District, came together and decided we need to do whatever we can to buy this system, or at least a piece of it, to make sure that the creek keeps flowing through Murphy's and that those water rights are preserved for our future generations. And huge credit to the group of people from CCWD and Angels and UPUD who came together and really saved our water supply, because under some of the proposals, the water would have been almost completely cut off and it would have been run through another powerhouse called Collierville, which is more efficient than what we have. And we really wouldn't have had the same experience with Murphy's Creek and with the ag in our corridor. So once the system was purchased in 1995, Utica, which at the time was called UPA, just Utica Power Authority, was formed as a joint powers authority. And at the time, it was owned by Calaveras County Water District, City of Angels, and Union Public Utility District. And then the JPA operated the system. And in 2003, CCWD decided to leave the JPA. And so at this point, it's just the city and Murphy's UPUD that are in the partnership. And one of the things that I think is really important for people to remember is if power revenues and water sale revenues don't make enough money to cover our budget, we do rely on our JPA partners, the city and UPUD, and their customers to fill that budget gap. And so whatever the Utica Board of Directors approves for the budget, if we're short, we do get a 50-50 split of that deficit from our partners, and that is supported directly by the ratepayers.
You mentioned water rights a couple times on this weekend show, and it's no secret that water rights are very valuable in California, very powerful. Anything going on at the state level right now that you're keeping an eye on when it comes to water rights?
Absolutely, BJ. There are five bills being considered in the Senate and Assembly right now that are targeting water right changes. And it's our number one legislative priority to be engaged with these bills because we don't really like any of them. And we certainly see them as a threat to our senior water rights. Our rights date back to 1853, which is one of the most senior water rights that anyone has in the state of California. And just to put it at a high level, the State Water Resources Control Board was created in 1914. And you'll hear pre-1914 rights or senior water rights were any rights that were given out prior to the creation of that board. And then post-1914 rights or junior water rights were given out after the state board was created. So all the post-1914 rights are regulated by the state board. They can be curtailed and you have to meet a lot more regulations. The senior water rights, like what Utica has, are much more powerful and have fewer restrictions and they're more valuable. And so what's happening with these bills is the legislators is considering giving the state board authority over senior water rights in a way that they've never had before, and specifically with things like curtailment. So if there's a drought where the state board couldn't curtail senior water rights before, they now would be able to, and the process would be opaque and difficult to fight if you didn't agree with the methodology. And so that would erode a system that billions and billions of dollars have been invested in, and it would also threaten our ability to secure the rights for what we need now, but also for our children and grandchildren to come.
So imagine you've let the state lawmakers know your opinions on those issues.
We have taken strong opinions of opposition or asking for amendments, and our board has sent those letters in to the assembly members and senators working on this. We're also partnering with regional groups like Association of California Water Agencies and Mountain County's Water Resources Association, and Tuolumne County and Calaveras County and Calaveras Public Utilities District. All of these folks in this region are on the same page on these bills. But one thing to keep in mind is there is a super majority of Democratic lawmakers in Sacramento right now. And if they want to push these bills through, there's very little that we can do about it. And so the big thing right now is if they're going to go through one way or another, does it make more sense to do a straight oppose, or does it make more sense to try to work with the bill's authors to get amendments that don't make it quite so bad? But my prediction is that we are going to see some of these bills go through, whether water agencies like it or not. And the question is just how bad is it going to be?
Definitely keep a close eye on that. As we come to a close on this weekend's Motherload Views, we've got about a minute left. Anything else that wasn't brought up today?
The thing I want to share with the community is there is reason for optimism. You know, it seems like maybe there are just too many expenses and too much old infrastructure and too many regulations and that we're never going to be able to get our head above water. But the truth is, we have one of the most valuable things in California, and that's senior water rights and many, many thousands of acre feet of those senior water rights. And we have the team in place to protect those senior water rights. And we also have the team in place to seek funding to leverage the little rate dollars that we have and the power revenues that we have and do so much more than we ever could on our own. And so I just want to say that the Utica team is well equipped to do incredible things for this community, do things that have never been done before. And I believe very, very strongly that we're going to be successful with these big projects and these big initiatives, but we won't be able to do it without community support. And that's why we put the film out. And that's why I'm talking to you today. And that's why I go to meetings all over the county and the region, is to bring awareness and raise awareness of the importance of this system, where the water comes from, why it matters. And we need the community to support us every step of the way to pave a future that's going to be successful for generations to come.
Well, Joel, we appreciate you coming in today.
Very nice to be here, BJ. Thank you.
Again, we thank Joel Metzger, who is the general manager of the Utica Water and Power Authority. He was our guest on this weekend's Motherload Views. Again, a big part of the conversation was about the film that was put out, Water Our Gold. You can find a link up on mymotherload.com. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. Programming note, next week we're going to be joined by the city administrator for the city of Sonora, Melissa Eads. She'll be joining us next week on Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.